When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test.
Of all these opinions, this is the one that continues to blindside me, dumbfound me, gobsmack me, thunderstrike me.
Just blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
This is the Overreaction Podcast. I am Chase. With me, as always, my man, Cody. And we had day one of free agency officially on the books. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I don't know how I'm doing tonight, honestly, because I have been in a Discord or on this call with you for probably the last 15 hours straight. Refreshed Twitter or X probably 5,000 times within those hours as well. It has been an absolute awesome time. It is probably one of my favorite days within the NFL calendar. The first day where we see everything flip over. We have a QB carousel, an RB carousel, wide receivers a little bit slower, but we've got some other just dart throw tight ends that are all around the board. Absolutely fantastic day for fantasy, NFL, everything that you could possibly want in news and notes. I mean, you have constant information coming out every 5 minutes. Seriously, one of the best days on the NFL calendar. Honestly, even better than a game day.
Yeah, I mean, big shout out to Scott and to Ray. They went live today. They had 5,000 viewers on just a day one recap of free agency. So huge shout out to Ray. That's awesome. Can't wait for the actual NFL draft stream. That's going to be loaded with people, lots of cool giveaways, lots of great stuff going on. So make sure you are tapped into everything going on in Destination Devi. And another big thing about today, this is actually our 1 year anniversary on the Destination Devi airwaves. So congratulations to you, my friend. Big shout out again to Ray for giving us this opportunity. You know, we met in Heisman House. That's how our friendship, you know, was born. That's how we started getting into content creation. And I cannot believe it has been a whole year of doing the Overreaction Podcast. It does not feel like it, but man, been great to do this with you and love the fact that we've been able to reach out, tap in and, you know, make so many good friends here in the Destination Devi community.
It's been one of the best parts about it every week, you know, coming on here, we get to talk about news and notes, overreactions every single week. That's a really fun part about it, but it is truly the community that we have built over there at destinationdevi.com/allgaspatreon.com. And so, man, it's just absolutely fantastic. Everything that we've done with this community, your and my relationship as it's grown over the past couple of years, whatever that's been now. 2-3 plus, I don't even know what it is anymore, but that's been an absolute honor and a privilege to get to do this with you every single week. I think we've only missed like 2 weeks in 2 years of doing a show together, so it's been a pretty damn good time, man. So I'm happy to keep it rolling over here with DD as well. And one more shout out is we don't want to gloat on ourselves too much, we can't do that, so 1 year, whatever that is, you know, we'll throw it away, we're done. I want to give a shout out to our guy, Ty DeClaire, over there, making his debut over on the YouTube of DestinationDevi.com as well. That was an absolute incredible show over on the trade show with Ray GQ. Want to give our shout out to him because that's been one of our guys we've been rocking with for the entirety of the time that you and I have known each other. I think we've known Ty the entire time as well.
Yep, absolutely. I know he's had a big background in doing content creation and just starting things back up again. So love that for him. He's been doing the articles for Destination Devi. Make sure you do follow him on X at TyDeClaire44. He's been dropping threads, a lot of really great stuff in terms of, again, actionable trade content. And now he is got his debut on the trade show. So really excited for him. Again, big shout out to you, Ty. Love to see you doing what you're doing right now. So, yeah.
At Ty DeClaire 44.
At Ty DeClaire 44. Is that what I said? Whatever. Yeah, that's what it is.
We got it.
Patreon.com/allgas is where you can find us. Anyways, make sure you are in that Heisman tier or the Destination 5 tier. That's where you're going to find all the content creators. You're going to have access to everybody all day, every day. Voice chat was popping all day with instant reaction to what's going on, figuring out what's going on with these free agent moves. And that's just going to continue as draft season rolls around and as we get into rookie drafts, underdog, all sorts of fun stuff. So again, patreon.com/allgas. But now let's get into our episode, unless you have anything else you want to shout out.
No, let's get into the free agency tracker. It's the overreaction free agency frenzy show. I'm absolutely excited about this thing, man. Like literally one of my favorite day. I know I've already said it, but I'm not even going to say one of my favorite day of the NFL calendar just happened today. Absolutely awesome. We get to overreact to like 70 moves that happened within one day. May take an hour and a half to get through. Don't care. Be here. We'll get through them all. I don't even care if it's Gunnar Oshalevsky. I will talk about him.
We are going to dive into that. So we are going to break things down position by position because we do want to cover everything. We're going to get into the fantasy relevance, maybe some moves that we should be making right now to either acquire or sell windows, things like that. But let's just kick things off here with the quarterback position, get into some of the free agent signings. And right off the bat here, we're not going to start off with the biggest one, but it is still a big one. And talking about Russell Wilson signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers for a one-year vet min, which is $1.2 million. Really, really sticking it to my Broncos to make them fork out. I think it's $37.8 million. The pain. But hey, you know what? Russell Wilson lands in a spot where not only can he be a mentor to Pickett, but everything from my assumption is what my understanding is Russell Wilson went to a place where he felt like he was going to be a starter. And it feels like he has that opportunity, barring some major catastrophe of him just being awful. But what are your thoughts on Russell Wilson being with Pittsburgh? How fantasy relevant is he going forward for this year?
Incredibly fantasy relevant. I think he's much more fantasy relevant than Pickett. But I think what the conversation will be going forward is it's a QB competition, but you know it's really not a QB competition. I feel like that's kind of where we're at of like, fair. They can't really say it yet, but we all pretty much know what's going to happen. Even though they are only paying him the $1.2 million, they're paying him the vet min. They're sticking Denver with the rest of it, whatever that ends up being this year. But you can't bring Russell Wilson in and not give him first crack opportunity at the starting job. And I think we saw the stat come out that actually TJ Watt has more sacks than the Steelers have passing touchdowns over the past 2 years. That's a brutal one. I think it's 24 sacks for TJ Watt and 23 sacks or 23 passing touchdowns for all Steelers quarterbacks combined over the past 2 years. Like, it's an atrocious passing system that they have done. It has to be an upgrade. As bad as you may think Russell Wilson is, it has to be an upgrade for this offense. So that's good, at least. I do think he's the starter day one. I think he's the starter for at least most of the year, regardless of what you think about Kenny Pickett. He's turned into backup. Mason Rudolph is already off this team. He's not going to be re-signed anymore, I don't think, unless it's just an absolute like practice squad deal. So I don't think he has any market outside of Pittsburgh. So you can cut him if you have him. Russell Wilson's the only one that I really have any interest here, though. I will still roster Kenny Pickett. Like, I'm not just going out and cutting Kenny Pickett's, but you can't have any excitement about him starting week one in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think Pickett's still rosterable. We've seen again, 60 quarterbacks basically starting every single year for the past several years. That's a good enough number to hold on to any backup quarterback. And since they drafted him with a first round draft pick, Russell Wilson is only on a 1 year deal. But as far as fantasy relevance for 2024, I think Kenny Pickett is probably going to be like an over under starting probably 3 or 4 games is my assumption. Unless the Steelers are really bad with Russell Wilson under center, maybe we see a shift to Pickett. So Russell Wilson all in for, just curious. I know there's been trade rumors about Deontay, but let's just say they have the weapons there in place. You got Warren, you got Najee. How are you feeling about the weapons in general with, you know, Pickens, Deontay, Freiermuth, and what this Pittsburgh Steelers offense could actually be?
Equal to or better than what he was dealing with in Denver last year. You know, so yeah. you've got a tight end that's already locked in. You've got two wide receivers, two running backs. I mean, you got serviceable all around. Like, that just feels what the Steelers are on offense. Serviceable at every position. So I'm I'm not overly excited about it. I don't think you're ever going to get to like a top 12 quarterback finish, but could you finish at quarterback 16? Yeah. And what's that worth to you? It's probably not actually that much, but you at least get a little bit of security and stability and just quarterback 2 numbers each and every week. I think that's what you're looking at for Russ right now.
So any interest, best ball leagues, maybe a QB3 on your roster, Russell Wilson for single second. Can you get that done at this point?
Yeah, he's thrown around for single seconds right now. I don't think anybody's ever giving a first. I don't know if anybody's ever giving 2 seconds for him.
Situational,
but,
of course.
But right now, if Michael Penix, if Bo Nix go in the mid to back second round, I think that's probably the same amount of range that you're going to get a Russell Wilson in.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on here to the one that we all knew that was going to stay home. We talked about this the last couple of weeks with the Mike Evans signing. Is Baker Mayfield did stick with Tampa and got himself a nice little deal. 3 years, $100 million with 50 guaranteed. I believe the way it broke down was essentially like 2 years, $70 million. And then that third year could be a void year, but essentially like a team option in a way if they want to keep him around for that $30 million.
Yeah, as we get to our first actual contract here, really, because the last one, that's not a legitimate contract. That's just a little bit of almost a fallacy of how you can actually get Russell Wilson for $1.2 million on a vet mid deal. As we talk about all of these, though, it's important to note what is the reported contract and what's the actual contract. And so the reported contract for Baker Mayfield, 3 years, $100 million, $50 million guaranteed. What that actually correlates to is really more of a 2 year, $70 million contract, because if they need to, they can get out of that contract in year 3, cut him, and they aren't really having any dead cap on the books, on the roster for that year. So it's important to note the differences, and we'll see some of these running back contracts. One in particular that definitely is not a legitimate contract. And we've seen this every year. It's been much better reported, it feels like, over the last couple of years, but it's still very important to mark the difference of what is the actual contract and what is guaranteed and what is the quoted contract by the agent just trying to push numbers.
Yeah, again, we'll get into the running backs here in just a little bit, but for Baker Mayfield, very excited for him, sticking around for another couple of years at least with Tampa. There is a little cause for concern. I know people are a little interested to see, you know, with Canales leaving for the Panthers, if Baker Mayfield and this offense is going to look the same. They are trying to run it back. We'll get into the free agent signings. You know, who cares? Chase Edmonds re-signed again with the running back. So they're literally running it back. Brought Evans back. Everything's kind of stuck around. Baker Mayfield was a top 12 quarterback option, and it seems like there's stability with that, I guess, this upcoming season and beyond. Where are you having Baker Mayfield at? Do you think he's in that? I don't think he's quite in that like Dak tier, but I think that a lot of people are going to have him in the Goff, Stafford, probably a little bit above that even, but people really like Baker Mayfield right now.
I mean, the question was asked on Wake Up, right? What would you rather have for the next 2 years, Deshaun Watson or Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
I think that's a very legitimate, valid question. A guy that we haven't seen really be up to the level of what we want to be at for now, like 3-4 years in a row, or the guy that just went out there and did it with the same group that he's going to have this year. It's an interesting question. I think he's another guy that just slots kind of in, obviously higher than like the Rust tier, but he's just a guy that slots into that, like, kind of right behind the Jared Goff, Brock Purdy Tua range. I think that's where he slots in. I think that's where Deshaun Watson slots in too. So I think it's not a, there's not really much to really gain or detract from his value, but I think that's where he slots in, is just kind of that like mid QB2 guy.
If you're a team that, let's say you're in a retool and 2024 is still not looking like your year, but we got a Baker Mayfield contract, you selling Baker Mayfield for any 25 first, just random 25 first, take it and run.
As long if I can paint a story where it's non-playoff, I sell for 25 first.
Okay. Would you rather try to use that Baker Mayfield to get into this 24 class and just try and get a pick anywhere 110?
I mean, I don't think you're getting into the 110, 109 in this class, so no. Like, then you're just asking me to re-roll for, I don't even think you're re-rolling for J.J. McCarthy. So
yeah, I mean, think about the
then you're asking me to re-roll for Bo Nix or Michael Penix, and I'm not doing that either.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking of the value you could extract out of that and potentially use to improve your team. But yeah, I mean, I'd say that's kind of where I'm at. A single first, I'm happy to just be like, peace, see you later.
Segue mode. Would you rather have Baker Mayfield for the next 2 years or Kirk Cousins, who just landed in the Atlanta Falcons system? Two Chainz cousin going down to the land of Chainz in Atlanta, and with a group of receivers and weapons that they have built up over the last couple of years, consistently using this eighth overall pick that they are back in at again to get Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, along with Kirk Cousins. This looks like an absolute fantastic fit, smash fit. You pair him with Zach Robinson as well as the OC. I absolutely love this one. This is the one we've been talking about for a while. It was never going to be Justin Fields. I'm sorry to all of you lovers out there. It wasn't going to fit that system. And now we get Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. So what do we think about this one? And if you want to address Baker Mayfield in comparison to that, you can go ahead and do that too.
I mean, I'm taking Kirk Cousins over Baker Mayfield at this point. I mean, yeah, I know the age is different, but and yes, there's the injury that he's coming off of, and this was kind of the talking point of, you know, it's his plant leg. What's this actually look like? There's only truly one quarterback that has had this type of surgery at this age, and that was Dan Marino, who was able to recover from it decades ago. I still think Kirk Cousins can recover from this. I feel like the Atlanta Falcons had enough of a guarantee or a good enough feeling that he is actually going to be in good shape for the season and beyond to give him a 4-year, $180 million deal. And I know you were reacting to something that I just updated as well. And so obviously Kirk Cousins is going to be a top 12 quarterback option. I think people are really stoked about him, more excited for the weapons themselves. This is a conversation that was had earlier. I don't think it does a whole lot for Bijan necessarily, but I do think that it's wheels up for Drake London. And I think there's an opportunity for the wide receiver two, Pitts is a tight end, so I mean a legit wide receiver two to emerge from the Falcons, because we haven't seen that over the past few years. And I think they're going to have a different type of offense where whoever that wide receiver two ends up being could be a fantasy relevant option, whether that's best ball, depending on the talent level or lineup. So very excited for that. Obviously we've talked about this ad nauseum over the past few weeks, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. So it's finally a done deal. And now let's talk about who's replacing Kirk Cousins, I think is where
live breaking news on the podcast as we're recording at my current time of 12:12 Central Time. Sam Darnold is now the new quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings on a 1-year deal, $10 million. Sources say teammate John McCown, who is the Minnesota's new quarterback coach, Kirk Cousins out, Sam Darnold in. This has been rumored and reported for most of the day. A lot of people were having their, oh, well, there's no spot left. Justin Fields has to go in division to the Minnesota Vikings, and another spot gets taken off the map. What do you have left? I think it's only the Denver Broncos, yep, who don't even own their own first right now. You know, so like maybe that one actually happens. Don't know. Justin Fields is a backup. We're just going to put that out there right now. That's not happening. So Sam Darnold, along with what does this do for your Justin Jefferson shares? I guess that's kind of the question that everybody's going to be asking right now. Does it move him off of your wide receiver one? What does it do for Sam Darnold? Obviously, I think this puts him in starter contention. Is he guaranteed to start week one? I don't think that's the case right now, but he has to be rostered everywhere and treated as the starter for the Minnesota Vikings from this point forward.
We'll get into some of the other backup contracts that we have signed here. 1 year, $10 million is kind of like a high leverage backup, potentially maybe a springboard to a rookie. You know, it's not a very big deal where you're like, oh yeah, he's the starter. I do think he's going to start some games for Minnesota based on what they currently have there. But I am not writing off the Minnesota Vikings bringing in a rookie quarterback, whether that's first round, second round, but it is a check mark off the list of a team that is highly likely not taking a shot at trading for Justin Fields. It is just the Denver Broncos left. We were talking about this before the show. I'm pretty sure it's just Denver left that is like absolute QB needy. Darnold was rumored to them as well. Jameis Winston's on the market still. And don't want to talk about your guy, Jimmy Dubs. So, yeah.
He is actually under contract. I didn't know that. He is actually under contract for 2024.
Is he? All right, yep. Well, good to know. All right, cool. So back to Sam Darnold. Yeah, with him being in – in Minnesota. I don't think this does anything for any of our Justin Jefferson shares. People are going to panic about this. The offense is going to be the offense. They're going to still run it through the way that they want to run it through. It's just going to be how efficient can Sam Darnold be in this offense with the Vikings. So I don't hate it. I just would be shocked if Sam Darnold, like, give me an over under, like half the season, 8 games, 9 games. How many do you think he's starting this year? You gonna give him the full season?
I want to give him 17, man. Like,
I know
maybe like a missed 2 for injury, so I'll give him 15. But I think this is your start for the Minnesota Vikings. Honestly, I think it's a bridge gap quarterback, and they're gonna roll out Sam Darnold and see what you have for 15 plus games.
I don't doubt it. I know the big conversation.
Even if you draft a guy in like late round two, round three, I think until he loses the job, this is Sam Darnold's job.
That's fair. We're about to find out. I think that's the fun thing. I do think it comes down to what kind of level of rookie do they take. I held some Sam Darnold shares, and I guess I'm getting rewarded in some way, shape, or form, but not the way I expected this to pan out, where he has an actual shot at starting. I assumed he was going to be a backup going into 2024, and the fact that he has a possibility of starting games is excellent, especially with the weapons that are there in Minnesota. It could be a lot worse for Darnold, so excited for him. I'm not making any fantasy like changes at this point. The rest of these guys are kind of backups. Anything else you want to touch on with Darnold before we get in the last potential starter here?
No, we got to go a little bit faster through this, as we're 20 minutes in and just talking about our fifth quarterback. But let's talk about the last one, and that is Gardner Minshew going to Las Vegas. Yep. On a 2-year, $25 million deal. He has $15 million guaranteed. We don't know whether that's in the first year or the second year at this point, so we don't know whether that's basically a 1 year or a 2 year guaranteed deal right now. But Gardner Minshew, definitely in the mix to be the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders as we wake up on March the 13th, and we'll see what happens. It's going to be a full I feel like this is going to be a full QB battle between him and Aiden O'Connell. Don't imagine anybody else really coming in to challenge either of these two. They're going to roll these two out, and they're going to try to see what they have, float it for a year, as I like to say with my dynasty teams at the quarterback position, and see what they've got between these two guys. Do you have any lean of whether you would go with Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew? I think it's honestly kind of a coin flip at this point.
I feel like right now you got to give the lean to O'Connell, just simply because he's been in the system, familiarity with Pierce, like everything that you kind of expect. Yes, it's a new offensive coordinator, so that would kind of help out a little bit. But Minshew's a professional. He learns systems. He knows what he's doing. I'd say O'Connell's probably the leader in the clubhouse today, but training camp could change all of that. Baseball's on the mind. But I think Gardner Minshew still has a legitimate shot at starting games. I do think he will start games for the Vegas Raiders, because they are probably going to be bad. And so I think we're going to see a kind of carousel throughout the year within that own locker room of who's actually going to start week in and week out.
I like the team, though. So like I could imagine them not being as bad and somebody being the starter. Neither of them give me full confidence, though. So
for sure.
I can understand maybe it ends up being a Minnesota Vikings situation where you're like a Atlanta Falcons situation where it's Desmond Ridder 1 week and Taylor Heineken the next week. You know, so I could easily imagine that coming down the stretch of 2024. Yeah. And then the Raiders go in and they ship off Devontae Adams, they rebuild, and they get their quarterback in 2025.
So let's hammer out the rest of these, because we do need to save some time here. So Mac Jones did get traded to Jacksonville to be the backup behind Trevor Lawrence. Mitchell Trubisky obviously went to Buffalo, 2 years, $5 million, you know, basically a 1 year, $2.7 million deal, backup deal. Tyrod Taylor to the Jets. Sounds like a 2 year deal. Brandon Allen back to the San Francisco 49ers. And then the other one that could potentially have some starting, you know, vibes early on in the season, which was again rumored throughout and something that we had talked about, is your boy Brisket, good old Jacoby Brissett, did sign with the New England Patriots for 1 year, $8 million. With them having high draft capital, it's likely that he's, you know, it's a mentorship kind of thing. And, you know, maybe he has a shot to start week one or week two, just until the rookie is ready to go. But that's kind of where we're at now. Let's get into some available quarterbacks. We got, I mean, I don't want to hammer this home. We've talked about Trey Lance all offseason last year, hammered home how he wasn't going to be a starting quarterback last year. The other guy we kept hammering home was Justin Fields, and he was not going to be a starter in the NFL at some point here soon, and that's point is now. So I don't want to talk about backup quarterbacks. We're just going to skip the Justin Fields conversation unless you want to add anything real quick.
No, the only thing I have to say is shocked Jot Jiff. That's the only thing. just imagine that in your mind, shocked Jot Jiff. And I've been saying it for 6 months.
There we go. All right.
Can't Justin say anything Fields. Else on it.
Dead. All right, let's write him off. Last couple free agents that are of note: Josh Dobbs, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock. Jimmy G was rumored to go to the Minnesota Vikings. It sounds like that's probably off the table at this point. I haven't really heard any other Jimmy G rumors. He is suspended for the first two games of the season for PED violation, so that's still out there as well for good old Jimmy G. And then Ryan Tannehill is the other name that's still available. That's kind of like the, I don't want to say big name, but a name that I think is still startable. He was kind of tied to a lot of, you know, the Falcons, things like that, but it got real quiet real quick because there's not a lot of options left. So Denver, take your pick. Please don't be Drew Lock. That's all I got to say.
If they re-sign Drew Lock, that'd be an incredible one. I don't think that's happening, but there are, I guess, three other potential spots still open. Yeah. And that is the top three of the draft, though. And we assume that those are going to be starting quarterbacks from the NFL draft. We assume that those are going to be the New England Patriots, the Washington Commanders, and the Chicago Bears. If you filled those spots and you filled Denver, where else do you go? You're probably going into, at best, a quarterback competition. And other than that, you're going to a backup role. So we have seen these spots really start to fill out pretty quickly compared to what we were saying throughout the season of, like, quarterback is just so disparaged throughout the league. Nobody has a starting quarterback. And now we're 12 hours into free agency and there's only four spots left and three are being taken in the top three picks of the NFL draft, it feels like.
Yep. And then the Patriots just took Brissett. So that you can pretty much write them off of probably grabbing another free agent quarterback at this point. Not a lot of options left. Some of these guys are going to be backups. Will they get opportunities to start? Sure, that's a possibility. And if you play that backup QB game, these are some guys you still want to potentially roster, depending on the depth of your roster's format, things like that. But let's move on, unless you have anything else you want to touch on with quarterbacks.
Other last guys just to mention, Drew Lock, like we just mentioned, Joe Flacco potentially returning to the Browns as the backup, and Josh Dobbs, I think, has a good chance of returning to the Minnesota Vikings as a backup as well.
There we have it. All right, so let's get into the running back carousel. And you know, tight end's going to be really quick later. I think wide receiver will be too. But running backs here, we have a lot to get into. And I mean, let's start off with the one that everyone has talked about, with Tony Pollard getting, you know, killing off Tajay Spears. 3 years, $24 million. All of the talk, all that you've seen all over the internet is Tajay Spears is dead. For fantasy purposes, not in real life, but for fantasy purposes. And Tony Pollard is just going to take over this backfield. I don't necessarily feel that way, but what are your thoughts with Tony Pollard in Tennessee?
I think they equally make each other dead, if that's a thing. Like, can we see a 50-50 touch?
Yeah.
Like a touch workload, and they both are just meh all the year? Like, I think that's what we're looking at, is both of them have 12 to 15 touches a game. They both honestly kind of compare relatively the same to me. Neither of them really is like a power running back. Both of them have that, like, more outside explosive game ability. So I don't even really think that this is a great fit for both of these two together in the same offense. And honestly, if you're going to give me one over the other, I think I'd take Pollard still, which I get that that's why the equation of Spears is dead. I think that's how most people get to that equation. But I don't know. I just think that this is very neutral for both. I think it hurts both of them equally.
For me, I'm more with that. I think the big thing that I look at is this is still this Tennessee Titans offense, and they have a lot of work to do from where they were last year. This isn't like, you know, Tajay's just going to be Derrick Henry and Tony Pollard's going to be Tony Pollard of old, and they're going to come in and just take this offense to new levels. I do think for best ball, which you and I predominantly play, you want to roster both of these guys. Like, you're going to like both of them. They're both going to have pop weeks. But if you're looking for consistency week in and week out of the running back position, I mean, take your pick. I do think that Tajay is going to be the between the tackles guy. He did show that he could do that fairly well last season, you know, spelling Derrick Henry from time to time. But in the end, both of these guys are going to be 12 to 15 touch guys. And how efficient can you be in this offense? One of the big things that Ray kind of pointed out was Tony Pollard is one of the worst running backs on the goal line. So that's kind of where I'd lean Tajay, where I'm a little more interested in for best ball purposes. But if I had to throw these guys in a lineup week in and week out, I don't feel great about having to start either Pollard or Tajay Spears. So I kind of lean with you in the sense where they're going to kind of cannibalize each other.
Trading either of them away for a, let's say, in a 12-team start 10, 204.
204, trading them away.
You get the 204, you re-roll with a 204 pick.
I'm down. Yeah.
I think that's about where like I could just get roughly the back best the best running back of this class, right? Or the second, third best running back of this class easily. Like I think I just take that re-roll.
Yep. I totally agree. I think that's kind of where you're at right there. So the Tony Pollard signing, I mean, that did obviously free up one big name from free agency. I'm going to keep another similar profile guy, unless you want to continue on this path. But DeAndre Swift did sign with the Chicago Bears. And so they actually got themselves a running back there, 3 years, $24 million with $15.3 million guaranteed, essentially a two-year deal. Good deal for Swift. Interesting fit with the offense, I guess. Everyone thought Roschon Johnson was going to have some hope. Khalil Herbert still under contract. I mean, the NFL has changed, if you haven't figured this out, with, you know, Pollard and Tajay. Two running back systems are the way of the future. So this one's kind of a full RBBC. We'll see if that changes with the addition of Swift, but he got a Miles Sanders deal, and Miles Sanders got stuck on the bench. So my DeAndre Swift, there's no guarantee of what his true role is going to be going forward.
Yeah, I think I have a little bit more of a lean to where he'd be a little bit more RB1 in this roster. However, like you were saying with Roschon Johnson, I think he's relegated to complementary role in special teams at this point, and then it's Khalil Herbert to be kind of the more grinder. But I think this is probably a 60-40 split for the most part between DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert, and then wherever Roschon is mixed in within that. Anybody who was thinking Roschon was going to take over the backfield probably isn't feeling very too good at this point right now. So I think this is very much still I'm not writing off Khalil Herbert because of this. I think he definitely still has a role within this offense, but I think it is really only him and Swift.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the other thing to kind of consider with the Bears signing, and I know we always look at pass catching roles, and regardless of how you look at any three of these guys, I don't know that there's going to be a good enough pass catching role if it's Justin Fields under center or even Caleb Williams, which is the more likely option here. But he's never been a big check down guy, likes to do kind of the Patrick Mahomes where he moves around, moves the pocket, finds some space, buys his receivers time to get open, and then makes the big play. So I don't know that that's going to be truly a benefit for any Swift pass game. Or Roschon Johnson, because I know Roschon had a six catch game, I believe, last year that people just kept referring back to. So I do think that Swift is the leader in the clubhouse for sure. Same kind of situation though with Tony Pollard. I think, you know, if I have a Swift on my roster, moving him for a second, early second, I'm out. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the liquidity. I do think that there's still guys I'm interested in holding, but that Bears offense has a long ways to go, and I don't know that Swift is the answer.
Fully agree there. I don't have anything else to really add to that one. Pretty cut and clear position as far as I'm concerned. Let's go into one that I think is not very as cut and clear, because that is Saquon Barkley signing with the Philadelphia Eagles on a 3-year, $37.5 million contract, $26 million guaranteed. We don't know exactly where that lines, but I would assume that that's probably more of a 2-year deal where the third year he could be cut. It's a big ass contract, honestly, for a running back at this point of where we are within the NFL cycle. So Saquon Barkley in Philly, this is one where he was rumored to the Texans, but Philly gets their guy. Howie Roseman has never spent on running back, and then he comes out here. He trades a draft pick last year, probably gets a better comp pick, honestly, as well. So I love what the Philadelphia Eagles do within the front office. Does it always come to fruition? No, but I do really like the fit with Saquon here within this Philadelphia Eagles offense. Get them a true hammer behind Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, the Saquon Barkley deal. So the first line came out on projection for him where he's like 1,050 yards rushing, 300 some yards receiving, maybe like 40 catches. It's kind of like the projection around 11 total touchdowns. You know, nice little 1,300 yard season is kind of what they're projecting for Saquon in this offense.
Is that all?
That's all. It was very modest. I was a little surprised. I've heard mixed feelings.
I still think that's massively overinflated, but
I think it's, you see mixed feelings. I feel like people expect an 1,800, 2,000 yard season out of Saquon. And I think people think Saquon is a bum. It's like, they're like, ah, I can't believe they paid him $26 million guaranteed to the running back position when you could have found anybody else. I've seen both sides of the coin. I do like Saquon Barkley. I do like the fit. Yes, Jason Kelce is gone. You do have Landon Dickerson that you got re-signed. You still have Lane Johnson. Like, you still have a decent enough offensive line. Hopefully that can continue. I mean, it's not going to be what it was last year, but Saquon Barkley has played with some awful offensive lines over the past few years with the New York Giants. So his value of all of these running back signings, I feel like, is the one that has skyrocketed the most in the fantasy community, just because of that offense, how people view Saquon. The thing is, they don't really pass to the running back position. I am a massive Saquon fan, but for the value that you can get, I think I'm getting out. I've heard the talks of like a 25 first, a single 25 first. I sold Saquon Barkley midseason last year for a first and Tajay Spears. I still think you're going to get a first plus for Saquon right now. I mean, am I wrong? Do you think you can get yourself more? Is it just a single first and that's it? I know where we are in the Destination Devy community is a single first for any running back that's not the top three. But for the common dynasty players, you think you're getting a plus?
I don't think you're getting a Tajay, because that's
not,
like a,
not this, that, that's not another Tajay.
Yeah, yeah, that's another second on top of it. But can you get like another guy we'll talk about here soon, Antonio Gibson on top? Maybe. Like, I think that's in your relative wheelhouse. Zach Moss, no, because right now he looks to be the lead running back in a different place. But no, I don't think you're getting much more than a 25 first, even outside of our community. Maybe it's different. Maybe I'm just secluded on our own little world over here, but I don't think that's the case. And as I was saying earlier about the projection just being off, I understand that for a 17-game projection. But to Saquon Barkley ever play 17 games, I highly doubt that that's happening. So whenever I look at that projection a little bit more, I'm probably projecting like four games missed. And then that goes to 1,000 yards, 30 catches, 250 yards. And it doesn't look nearly as great whenever you fully get that way. So I like the fit. I like the fit for the NFL team. Does he have like that top elite tier upside, though, that I think a lot of people are going to see whenever they just see, holy crap, he's on the Philadelphia Eagles. It's going to be so great. I don't see that. So I will more than likely be out, and I'll more than likely be trying to do what you have talked about just in the past of like any 25 first, as long as it's not the team that was in contention for the championship. Yeah, I'm out. I'll re-roll that pretty easily.
I think the thing with Saquon too, like the people that aren't really thinking about either, is I know, again, Kelce is gone, but they are still a big fan of the tush push when you get into goal to go situations. You know, that 1 yard line is a Jalen Hurts special. So like, how much involvement does Saquon actually get in the goal line? And then again, how much passing work does Saquon actually get used for when it comes to this offensive scheme? So just things to monitor, tempering expectations for some people as well. But I do love Saquon Barkley for the fit and would love to see, you know, rookie year Saquon come back in full force. So
let's go to one. No. I'm going to take this one, yes, because let's go to one that I even think is better fit than the one that we just talked about. And that is Josh Jacobs in Green Bay, because AJ Dillon is gone. Aaron Jones has been released from this team as well. He is now a free agent to explore other opportunities. You now have Emmanuel Wilson and Patrick Taylor as your RBs 2 and 3 on the team. And Josh Jacobs goes from the Raiders, where you had a questionable, I guess, impingement from Zamir White. You have nothing else here. This is the Josh Jacobs show. Now, do they draft somebody? Potentially. But I'd also be rostering the other two running backs on this team. And I think that Josh Jacobs has the potential to take another 80, 90% workload. Now, does he have much efficiency with it? That's highly questionable. He didn't have it last year. Now, there's some things that say that Josh Jacobs was one of like the three worst backs in the league in terms of efficiency. And then I see PFF data telling me he was the top five running back in the league. I don't know which is which, but I know he wasn't very good to watch 20 times a game, smashing it up the middle within the Raiders offense. So will he get all the touches? I think yes, at this point. So I'm very excited about that. But I do think that like you need to temper expectations a little bit. But I'm honestly more even excited about Josh Jacobs in Green Bay than I am about Saquon Barkley in Philly.
Yeah, I was a little hesitant with the Jacobs one. My first reaction was like, oh, cool. Like he's going to be after that. I found out the whole cut situation with Aaron Jones. He's going to be the guy. He's going to get the workload again, just like he did this past year, as you mentioned. He's going to be in a better situation. The Packers offense itself, their offensive line is way better. So they're going to have a top 10 unit as far as an offensive line. So very, you know, optimistic there. So I think the efficiency could go up if he continues to get that workload. So I just don't know what Josh Jacobs we're getting. I don't know. He's always been a slow starter in like the past few years. He's been a slow starter out the gate. I want to see things that, you know, new situation, new blood, big contract. I mean, that's the whole thing. What was it? 4 years, $48 million. Is that the official contract? I don't think we know the full guarantees and what that breakdown is yet, though, right?
Spotrac hasn't fully broken out. It is a 4 year, $48 million contract, but really more so, it's like a 2 year, $24 million contract.
Okay.
They could get out in the third year with like $5 million dead cap and save $7 million on the cap. So really, it's more like a 2 year, $24 million contract.
Totally fair. That makes a lot more sense than some of the numbers. I know it was initially reported as like $12 million guaranteed, which doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, so. That was the only guarantees. It was only a 1 year deal, but it was a 4 year, 1 year guaranteed, and then 4 years stretched out. So according to Spotrac, at least as it's recorded right now, it looks more like a 2 year, $24 million deal.
Fully trust that. But yeah, I do think it's going to be a situation where he is going to get the lion's share of the work. I do think they're going to bring somebody else in. I don't know if it's necessarily free agency, but I would assume that they're going to continue the same type of, you know, thunder and lightning approach that they have in years past with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. I think we have a AJ Dillon plus. And, you know, now we need an Aaron Jones replacement, whether that's going to be Patrick Taylor, Emmanuel Wilson. Like, I don't think that they're the ones, but maybe they bring somebody in, Will Shipley, you know, some sort of pass catching back that might be a little more suited than a Josh Jacobs. Not that he's incapable, just the way that system is typically ran in the past.
Do fully agree with that. The only other thing that I think we have to touch on here is the other portion of it. Aaron Jones released. As of to this point, we have not seen him sign anywhere. There have been rumors that the Houston Texans are very interested in him. The Minnesota Vikings are also very interested in Aaron Jones as a cross-divisional acquisition for the Minnesota Vikings. So wherever he goes, I think, honestly, if you can try to send out some offers, I've been talking about this too much and haven't been able to send them out, honestly, because I've been putting this together. But if you could send out some like thirds for Aaron Jones right now, as he doesn't have a team, I honestly think you might be able to get some stuff done and you might be able to land a starting running back for either the Minnesota Vikings or the Houston Texans, as it sounds right now. So that'd be something, if he's not signed by the time you're listening to this, that I'd be exploring.
Playoff second. You give it a late second for Aaron Jones.
212, sure.
209, 210.
Why do you make this difficult on me, man?
Because that's the trades that should be happening, right? Like you don't know the situation, but if Aaron Jones, like obviously you mentioned Texans, Devin Singletary is gone. You still have a Damian Pierce who is totally incapable of running in that offense. Might be an awesome opportunity for Aaron Jones.
12 team superflex start 10, probably doing it. Yeah, okay. as long as I'm in that contention team window and I need a running back.
Exactly. Sure. Team makes sense, team fit, all that kind of stuff. So, all right, cool. We'll move on there. So mentioned Devin Singletary. He actually is the Saquon Barkley replacement. I don't mean to laugh, but I've been a big fan of Devin Singletary's game as far as like what he is and his role in the NFL. But he did sign a 3 year, $16.5 million detail or contract. the details of that contract are still to be determined exactly, but it sounds like Devin Singletary is getting reunited with Daboll and seems to be, you know, the lead option in New York right now.
You've got to like it because it's certainly not Eric Gray. It's certainly not Deion Jackson, who's like, I guess, their next best guy on the practice squad. Matt Breida, you really concerned about that one at like 37 years old or whatever he is now? I don't think that one's really your concern. So, yeah, you got to trust Devin Singletary, who's kind of this almost quasi workhorse back right now. Maybe they add something again in free agency, or maybe they add something through the draft. I assume they do because it's pretty bare bones behind Devin Singletary being your lead right now. But I assume this contract to work out as a 2-year deal, probably, where they can get out in the third year. Most of the contract or the guaranteed money in the front two. So he's probably there for guaranteed 2 years, and he probably has to be up there with most of these other guys, which I don't think he's going to be valued exactly the same way just because of the name of Devin Singletary.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL's changed. Like, there's zero, and I'm going to put 0% chance that Devin Singletary is that this running back room is going to stay the same way with just Singletary as the guy. Yes, Eric Gray, yeah, whatever. They're adding another body to this room, another role player in some way, shape, or form. That's just the way it's going to be. Like, they added Zach Moss in Buffalo back in the day when Singletary was there. I feel like they're going to add another body to have that kind of combo again. That's not just going to be Devin Singletary.
Go get Damian Harris if he's healthy.
You know, there are options. There are options out there. But I like the deal for Singletary. I think it's going to be a good reunite. With Daboll. Whatever. You know, happy for him getting his contract, getting paid. And I do think that he's going to have some fantasy relevance again in 2024. So, speaking of a guy who had fantasy relevance in years past, but not so much in 2023. One Austin Ekeler did sign a 2-year, $11.4 million contract. Details still to be announced. Sounds like there's some bonuses, some other things that he can earn some money. But this is essentially a $5.2 million deal each year for 2 years. And I don't know what to think about it because I don't know what Austin Ekeler is anymore.
It's a pretty rough contract for what we believed in Austin Ekeler, even at the beginning of last year, right? Like, he was coming off of an RB1 year where he was one of the best running backs in the league, goes out there, and then they're trying to run out Josh Kelly and Isaiah Spiller as these hammer backs for him, where they have failed him for multiple years in the Los Angeles Chargers system, never getting him a complimentary back, and he looks kind of washed because of it, because he's been taking 350 touches a year of stuff that he should have never been doing, and rushing for 2.8 yards per carry or whatever it is up the gut, which is not his role, and then also catching another 100 balls a year. Like, it's never been his role. He's been overworked, he's been overused. It's been great for fantasy, but now we're seeing the ramifications of it, and he's seeing the ramifications of it in his own contract. You're just a complimentary role guy now, with Brian Robinson being the main power back. This is honestly the best power running back that he's had since Melvin Gordon was alongside of him in the Los Angeles Chargers system 5 years ago, I think, at this point. Seems like a long time ago that Melvin Gordon was extremely relevant there along with Austin Ekeler. So I actually like it for him just as from like an NFL standpoint. But what upside do you really see here other than just being a and better version of Antonio Gibson as a pass catcher in this offense?
So I agree. And this is the best hammer he's ever played against in terms of not the DTI-5 hammer, but, you know, physical hammer in B-Rob. The fact that he is reunited with Anthony Lynn, the run game coordinator for Washington, does play a little bit too. There's that connection from his time with the Chargers. It depends on the quarterback that they get. I do think that this team is going to be average at best. They're going to be picking in the top 15 again next year. And if they do pick Drake May, or if they do utilize Austin Ekeler in a significant pass game role where he can be a little check down Charlie like he was in years past, I think for fantasy, we're going to love it. at some point we're going to realize we're going to love this. And I do think the cost to acquire Eckler is probably not going to be all that expensive either. So I'm a little optimistic. Like, I want to paint myself a picture where Austin Eckler can be an RB1 again, just on some pure hopium, you know, all those magic beans getting to me out here. But, you know, I do think that there's a world in which Austin Eckler can have a pass game role, be efficient in that role with this offense and be successful. But I'm very, very scared that he is on the way out.
I just see role player status, man. Like, honestly, yeah. if you have any hope of planting those beans and turning up an RB1 finish, I think that you're planting them on dead soil. You know, like, I don't think that there's any way those things sprout to fruition. So I like Austin Eckler still. I like him as the role player he is at this point, but I don't think he's ever getting back to being in the RB1 status.
Well, let's run through some other signings here. We'll touch on a couple of names. I'm just going to hit off of the ones that we don't really care about. Chase Edmonds did sign again with re-sign with Tampa. Contract details to be announced. Amir Abdullah had like a one-year, $1.8 million deal. Travion Williams did re-sign with Cincinnati. Zach Moss, however, did sign with Cincinnati as well after cutting Joe Mixon. So let's stop there real quick. Zach Moss, two-year, $8 million deal. It is him, Chase Brown, Travion Williams. You think that Zach Moss is going to be the RB1?
I think so. at least as the hammer back, I think he steps much more into that Mixon role than people will want to admit to themselves whenever you're talking about Chase Brown and the upside that he kind of played with at the end of last year. Look, you're already going out and you're making this a priority within your offseason. As soon as you cut Mixon, it actually was even before they cut Mixon. They actually signed Zach Moss and then cut Joe Mixon. Now, is he obviously the model of health? No, that's never existed for him. Will Chase Brown have games here and there? I fully assume that's the case. But this could still be a team I could think that could still add another running back. I don't think they're overly committed to Travion Williams other than just a special teamer. So now you're only down to two running backs. I think they could still add somebody else. But I like Zach Moss really to be the kind of like 60-40 guy here. Now, does he get the opportune touches? I think he gets a lot more of the between the 20s, just grinded out up the middle touches. But we saw him do that in Indianapolis, and that actually served very well for him. So I think that I wouldn't have much, if any, separation. I'd actually probably have Zach Moss a little bit over Chase Brown.
This feels very like Najee, Jalen Warren light situation with Zach Moss and Chase Brown. And that's kind of the way I look at this too. I don't know what the true breakdown is going to be, maybe 50-50, 55-45 type of situation. I do think that they saw enough out of Chase Brown last year. I think Scott Connor will probably have a little bit more news and insights into the actual Bengals themselves and what's going on around there. But yeah, I'd say both of them are going to be fantasy relevant. I'm not going out of my way to make any moves. I think your buy window for Chase Brown has been gone. I still don't think you're going to be able to buy either of these guys at a relatively cost-effective price unless you want to overpay. I think that's the whole thing. Is like, you're either overpaying to get a Zach Moss or a Chase Brown, or you're trying to get them thrown into a deal that's, you know, where they're not the centerpiece. You're not going out and actively trying to acquire Zach Moss and Chase Brown at this point.
Are either of them going for thirds in that standard format, 12 teams super like start 10 that we've been talking about? Like, I don't even know if you could get either of them for thirds. If you could, I'd kind of be interested in doing it on the right team, but also I don't really want to be buying that type of running back right now with a random third dart throw either.
I think that's the whole thing, is that there are players that you'll want to buy for a third, but the owner will want to sell for a second because, oh, we saw what Zach Moss did last year. Oh, we saw Chase Brown really emerge and have that home run ability. Like, that's the type of player. But I'm with you. I think if it was a third, I'd consider it if my team needed that. But again, you can find a Zach Moss at any point. You can find a Chase Brown at any point. And so I'm not really going out of my way to make that move at this point.
until they turn into Raheem Mostert halfway through the season, and then they're basically worth the first because of the production that they're giving you. So let's move into the last two that we have here at the running back position. Antonio Gibson moves over to the New England Patriots on a 3-year, $11.25 million deal, 5.3 of it guaranteed. So it's basically a 2-year deal that he signs to be a pass catching back with New England, paired with Ramondre Stevenson. Anything you think is really all that interesting here? I think it just depends on if New England's ever actually good, but right now I don't really, it's good to have. You'll serve a role, but is he any better than what we saw from Zeke Elliott last year? Probably not.
I think that's a guy I'd be more interested in buying Gibby for a third than the Zach Moss range, really? In my opinion. Okay. Yeah, just because I think that Antonio Gibson hype could be there. People loved Antonio Gibson, and if they do decide to utilize him in a role going forward, that it could be worthwhile. It could have some upside shot just because people believe. But Ramondre's still the guy there. In the end, again, just the guy I'm not really going out and making a move for. Same thing for the next guy on our list. But yeah, I mean, Antonio Gibson, good for him. Got a contract, got signed. I think he's going to have a role, and it'll be good for him to get a fresh start. We've all been hoping for a fresh start for him without Ron Rivera, and he finally gets it. So all good news there for him.
Yeah, can't be any worse than what he's done, although I guess it could. Anyway, the last running back that we have to talk about is firing up the Mrs. Frizzle Gus bus, and he goes from Harbaugh to Harbaugh, across the country from Maryland to LAC, and he goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. 2 years, $6.5 million deal, 3.375 guaranteed on a 1-year deal. He could be cut next year, but this is basically, I mean, he looks like Blake Corum's older cousin, something like that. Like, everybody that wanted to say Blake Corum was going here. I don't know why you draft the same guy whenever you just drafted or you brought in his older cousin on the first day in free agency. He's going to be an absolute hammer for this team. What is this team telling you? They bring in offensive tackles, they bring in blocking tight ends, and they bring in Gus Bus on day one. This team is going to run the hell out of the ball, and Gus Edwards is going to do it for the majority of the time that he's there.
Yeah, I mean, reuniting with Greg Roman, and again, keeping it in the family with going from Harbaugh to Harbaugh. So he's familiar. He's going to step into that hammer role and be very, very happy. So good for him for even getting a contract like that. I do think that it's going to have some fantasy relevance, but I do think that there's a bigger missing piece to this puzzle. I don't think that it's going to be Gus Edwards' team or his backfield like it was in Baltimore. I could be wrong. They did this. They've done this before. So, you know, where Gus has had this opportunity, yes, it was due to injuries and things like that, but hey, you know what? Crazier things have happened. I think they're going to bring in another legitimate 1A, 1B conversation where Gus Edwards is the 1B. So TBD on who that 1A is going to be. Could be in the draft, could be Blake Corum, could be, you know, another free agent signing on the cheap. There are a few available, especially after some cuts here. So let's get into that. Free agents, I guess not to be, but free agents here. Still have one King Henry, still being tied to the Baltimore Ravens. I think the rumor is $6.5 million per year is on the table for Derrick Henry. I don't know if it's a 1-year deal. Still some things to kind of figure out there, but sounds like the Henry to Baltimore train is heating up.
Does sound like it's heating up. Just sounds like it's a little bit difference of contract. We do also have the aforementioned ones that we were talking about through the process of the running backs of Joe Mixon and Aaron Jones being on the market. Both of those have been linked to, again, the Houston Texans and the Minnesota Vikings to be their running back one. Speaking of Minnesota Vikings running backs, Alexander Mattison is still on the market, even though he took 275,000 touches and didn't score an entire touchdown in a year. He is on the market, and he could serve as a role player within an offense. Ezekiel Elliott, CEH, Deonta Foreman, Cam Akers, Jerick McKinnon, A.J. Dillon, Kareem Hunt, J.K. Dobbins, Damian Harris, Rico Dowdle, Joshua Kelly, all viable free agents that teams could sign.
I'm just mad that you put J.K. Dobbins at the bottom of that list. Just kidding, everybody. For those that know, you know. But yeah, hope he finds a job. So yeah, a lot of free agents still available. A lot of running back spots to fill. I think that this free agent class so far with running backs has just shown us that there's a lot more belief in the free agent class than there is in this upcoming rookie class. So we'll see how that shakes out for us as well.
We got to circle back one little bit, though, because with that last guy that we talked about in depth a little bit, I do want to challenge you on it. I want to make a little bit of a bet. I don't know what the bet's going to be. We're not going to do that on air. But I will say that Gus Edwards takes over 60% of the rushes within that Los Angeles Chargers offense.
Oh, okay.
Receptions, I'm not talking about. But rushing touches, I think that he takes over
60%. Not total touches.
Yeah, not total touches. But the rushes in that offense, I think he takes over 60% of those touches.
I think it might be close. I think it could be close. I think it. Well, let's figure out an off-air bet. But yeah, I don't mind that one at all. So let's move into the wide receiver position here. Let's start off with one T. Higgins. There's no contract in place, but we do know that he has been tagged and he has requested a trade. So my question for you is, do you take the shot on trading for Higgins right now in fantasy and in Dynasty on the chance that he becomes a wide receiver one on his new team? Or do you think that this is a situation where T. Higgins is going to be T. Higgins and the wide receiver two on the Cincinnati Bengals?
I'd fully assume that from the track record that the Cincinnati Bengals have given us, this has happened the last 2 years in a row with the Cincinnati Bengals, that they have tagged somebody, they haven't been happy about it. They ask for an extension or a trade and nothing happens. They come back, they sit out all the way till week one, and then they come back and play. I'd assume that that happens. He plays 2024 for the Cincinnati Bengals if he wants to play football at all, and then he moves on in 2025. So I'm not seeing this as anything other than he will, unless they get an offer they can't refuse of like a mid-high or mid-late first-round pick, I assume he's still a Cincinnati Bengal.
Yeah, he's one I'd be willing to make a bet on that has that opportunity. But yeah, most likely for 2024, he's going to be in the same situation that he has been for the past few years of his career. Has had some really good games for best ball purposes. You know, starting lineups, obviously he's had his ups and downs. But yeah, let's get into the actual free agent stuff here. I guess before we do, one more trade. Jerry Jeudy has been traded to the Cleveland Browns for a fifth and a sixth. Stab me in the heart. Because we could have had a second at some point. But anyways, whatever. That's in the past. Jerry Jeudy is with Cleveland. Death to Elijah Moore at this point. But how do you feel about Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland?
About the same way I felt about Elijah Moore, who you just mentioned. Not great.
Yeah.
He'll be a role player and a good NFL player for the team. Do I care about him in fantasy at almost any level? Not really.
Nice DPJ replacement. So
Amari Cooper will run the offense along with David Njoku.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, I do think that he's going to be a role player. He'll have some games from time to time, but in the end, good luck to you.
Yeah.
So then the biggest news of the wide receiver day, we had Michael Pittman did sign a 3-year, $70 million contract with the Indianapolis Colts to stay in Indy, $46 million guaranteed. He's not going anywhere. He is going to be the quote-unquote number one for Anthony Richardson. Feels good. Kind of solidifies everything you believed about Michael Pittman. Nothing changes for me at all fantasy-wise, but good player.
No, honestly, not much fantasy-wise. The only thing is, like, NFL-wise, this felt cheap for a wide receiver who was tagged and basically just extended the tag out 3 years. That's not exponentially growing, which the tag will for a wide receiver. Felt like a very good contract for the Indianapolis Colts, honestly. So I bet they're very excited to get Michael Pittman back on this contract. Anthony Richardson will be very excited to get him back as well. I guess the NFL doesn't really view him as like a alpha wide receiver one, but I think he's still a very good alpha wide receiver one for this team, at least in terms of target share and everything like that. So like Michael Pittman, and I think he has a very locked in role here with what his team is.
Yep, absolutely agree. The rest of these are a lot of good NFL moves more than anything, but Kendrick Bourne did resign with the New England Patriots, so he has a 3-year, it's a $20 million deal. I thought it was a $30 million deal. But yeah, Kendrick Bourne did get re-signed there to New England for 3 years. Tyler Lockett got restructured, so he's sticking around in Seattle. Gabe Davis signed with Jacksonville for 3 years, $39 million. So there's some kind of notable things here that kind of popped up. But again, fantasy-wise, I guess maybe some Gabe Davis, Tyler Lockett relevance. But anything you're too excited with these three names?
We're getting into the borderline threshold wide receiver range. One that I want to note about Gabe Davis, though, again, I absolutely nerd out about all these like contracts in the back end of all these things. You know, Gabe Davis is on the books for the Jacksonville Jaguars until 2029.
2029?
They voided 3 years, gave him a 3-year contract, and he is now on the books until 2029.
I guess that's one way to work the old math, but wow.
It's incredible. So, but honestly, better for him. Like he's fully guaranteed almost. Like they can only save like $1.5 million up until 2026. So he will be a Jacksonville Jaguar for 3 years. And then he'll also be getting another 3 years of payment on the back end. Fantastic contract, Gabe Davis.
Zay Jones has played well in that offense. This is Christian Kirk's. I mean, I made the kind of the assumption that Ridley wanted to be back in Jacksonville, and he did. But this is truly his only opportunity to get the bag. His little hiatus, suspension, all that kind of stuff that went down. This was his only year to actually get, you know, to bag chase. And I don't think that Jacksonville wanted to play along. So Gabe Davis fills a role in this offense. He can be a home run threat, and he's going to have his Gabe Davis is going to be Gabe Davis. Don't expect anything to change. That's kind of the way I'm looking at this. Yeah, you're going from Josh Allen to T-Law, but
I like him a lot more than most people will.
Why is that? Explain that to me.
Obviously, like he's going to serve the same role as what he did, but I think he has an improved ability to do more just other than being a blocker within this offense comparatively to what he was within the Buffalo Bills offense, especially if Calvin Ridley doesn't resign, which it doesn't look like that's happening as of right now. And so I actually like him to be a true kind of like number two in this offense. And I think he could actually see a little bit more target share than we've seen in the past.
That'll be TBD. I couldn't agree. I know they've taken some big shots with Zay Jones in this offense. I do think that Gabe Davis can definitely serve that role. Big boom bust guy, you know, best ball. Gabe Davis is going to be Gabe Davis. That's
still like him. Right. Still like him more there for sure. But I think there's a possibility that he actually sees an increased role.
I'm more excited for Evan Engram. I think Evan Engram and Christian Kirk are going to have
definitely the opportunity there. Definitely still the two top target earners in the offense by far.
So I'm going to wrap up free agent signings. We'll get into what's available still, because that's kind of more of what's to note. Devin Duvernay did sign with Jacksonville 2 years, $8.5 million as well. Gunnar Olszewski, 1 year deal with the Giants. Then you have Juwan Jennings back in San Francisco. Tim Patrick restructured or reworked his deal for Denver so he can stick around. Jalen Reagor to New England and Noah Brown to the Texans. A lot of these contract details are still to be determined as Cody scoured the faces of the earth to find these signings for us tonight so that you can find out what's going on. But yes, Noah Brown back with the Texans, Reagor back with New England, Patrick with Denver, all of those pretty much the same. What's really to note is the free agent wide receiver still on the market. And that is going to be Ridley, Hollywood. Those are the kind of the top tier guys. You have Darnell Mooney, Josh Reynolds, Odell, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Boyd, MVS, DJ Chark, KJ Osborne, Mecole Hardman. Any of these names really stand out to you? Which domino are you waiting to fall?
Obviously, the ones that you talked about, Calvin Ridley and Marquise Brown, have to be the top two. We have seen some really interesting conversations about Darnell Mooney relinking with his OC in Kansas City. So obviously any wide receiver that goes to Kansas City is going to be pumped up. So I do like that one. Odell seems like he's trying to go back to the Ravens. I do really like Tyler Boyd. He's just a NFL guy who's going to be more productive for the NFL team than he probably is for fantasy. MVS, DJ Chark, KJ Osborne, I think could all get more money than people expect just because of the type of wide receiver that they are for an NFL team. I think they mean a little bit more, but you could bait somebody into thinking the contract means that they're actually going to see a little bit more target production that they're actually going to get. Anything other than those guys, though, I don't really have much optimism.
Yeah, I think the ones that are a note are the top two. I think Ridley's bag chase, and it sounds like the Patriots are in the hunt for Ridley, which is, you know, interesting. Again, when you're chasing the bag, a lot of times the situation itself isn't always ideal. So what that means for fantasy could be a little bit of a hit, but he could be the number one on the team. So the Patriots are the one that's been rumored. I've heard Hollywood could re-sign in Arizona. I've heard Hollywood to Kansas City as well. And then same thing, actually talking about him going to the Falcons. So some interesting rumors there. Right now, it's all just kind of smoke and mirrors. I think we're all waiting for the Ridley deal to kind of get announced as far as the big names. But yeah, I think those are the only fantasy relevant ones. Anything else you want to note with some of these guys? I mean, they're all just guys at this point.
Unless you're playing in deep best ball formats, which I assume most of you aren't, it's probably not worth the time to talk about them. So let's move on to the tight ends. And the first one that we got to talk about is one of my guys out of the Houston Texans going back to the team. And that is Dalton Schultz signing a 3-year, $36 million deal, 23 and a half guaranteed, basically a 2-year deal if they want to get out of it in that third year. But Dalton Schultz re-signing with the Texans. I think he's a very slept on tight end for comparatively to what a bunch of these other guys are. I just pulled up KTC as we were talking about that, and Dalton Schultz is behind Michael Mayer and right above Luke Musgrave in the KTC rankings at tight end 15. That seems incredibly disrespectful. I think he should be a locked and loaded top 10 tight end, especially if you are very hot on CJ Stroud, which I know a lot of people are, even vaulting him all the way up to quarterback two. I'm not there, but I think Dalton Schultz should be a top 10 tight end, especially if you're going to lock him in here with that quarterback and that offense for the next 2 years minimum.
Yeah, I love Dalton Schultz fit here. I'm glad he did go back. Very excited for him for fantasy wise as well. Just again, being one of those guys, I think that has the opportunity to be a top 10 tight end, whatever that means for you and your formats. Could vary, but for us, we play in a lot of tight end premium leagues, a lot of two tight end leagues, a lot of 2.0s, 1.75. So those are the leagues that, you know, I'm a little bit more interested in him in. If I have the ability to down tier from some of those, like a Goddard to a Dalton Schultz and add a second, get me a pick on top of it, that's the stuff that I'm looking to do. Because I think that Schultz is going to give you similar production to some of these top eight guys, but he's just going to be disrespected. The other name that what mentioned earlier that gets disrespected all the time is Evan Ingram. So I do think that Schultz is going to be just a guy that you can down tier to within the tight ends and maybe get yourself some added capital. But yeah, love the fact that he went back to Houston for 3 years.
I do as well, and I love it for my NFL team too, of the Houston Texans. But let's talk about another guy who has more of a cult following, I guess, just because of what he came in as than what he's actually produced, and that is Noah Fant. Seattle Seahawks re-signed Noah Fant, and all of their tight ends have actually gotten signed today that we will talk about. But Noah Fant is the only one that sticks around in Seattle. 2-year, $21 million deal. Don't know what the guarantees are, so we don't know if it's actually a 1-year or a 2-year deal. But Noah Fant right now looks to be the only tight end within this new scheme and system within the Seattle Seahawks offense. Do you have any hope there? Do you think that they're going to do the old same Seattle thing where they just have four tight ends, kind of like the Indianapolis Colts every year? We always have one guy that we want to hype up, and then all of them just kind of eat into each other. Right now, there's nobody else, though, so I have a little bit of hype about Noah Fant, but I feel like I'm just buying back into a little bit of the narrative fallacy that he's going to hit again within this offense.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what Ryan Grubb does in this, you know, in Seattle. Good for Fant getting a contract. Bottom line is we talked about this with JSN and, you know, Lockett sticking around, DK being there. Like, you're the fourth option at best. Like, I don't know if they're ever going to feature Noah Fant. I don't know if they're going to pass like they did when, you know, when at the Washington Huskies, and they're just going to chuck the rock around the field. Maybe there is some hope for Fant. Everyone talks about these, you know, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year breakouts for tight ends. We're all hoping for that for Noah Fant, but that doesn't seem to be in the cards right now. Seems like they're going to still ground and pound this offense. I feel like they're going to be bringing in other tight ends. They have to, because it's not just going to be Noah Fant for sure. So that's the one thing I do know, is they're going to bring somebody else in, whether that's through the draft, free agency. I don't have a lot of hope for fantasy. I think that he can still have some games, but there's just too many mouths to feed. And that offense is never really going to run through the tight end.
I tend to agree there, honestly. Trying to think of what the rookie tight end coming in is from Washington, who could potentially be like a fourth, fifth round guy that the Ryan Grubb offense could easily bring in, and it would just be a one-for-one translation. And I'm blanking on the name as I'm trying to look it up right now. But we can move on from him. We can bring up the name later as I find it. And that will be the next name of Hunter Henry re-signing in New England on a 3-year, $27 million deal. 2 years and 15.8 guaranteed is the actual deal, as I would rather call it. And so Hunter Henry sticking around for whoever is the next quarterback, whether that's Jacoby Brissett, whether that's a rookie quarterback coming in. But I do really like, honestly, a lot more than other people do, especially for best ball leagues, Hunter Henry in the fantasy football landscape than a lot of other people will. An absolute target hog within the red zone, a guy who can work over the middle as well. Hunter Henry is a very good tight end, and if this offense does take a step up, I think he could actually get himself up to a very relevant range.
Yeah, while you were talking about that, it's Jack Westover and Devin Culp. They actually have two tight ends from Washington that are coming into the NFL draft this year. But yeah, no, for Hunter Henry, good fit. Stay where you know. I still think he's going to be a very good NFL tight end. And then same thing, he's going to have fantasy relevant weeks. I don't think we're ever going to see the performances that he had this past season necessarily, where he's having, you know, just so many red zone touchdowns. I think that they're going to bring in some other weapons to help out, but still think that he's going to have a good enough season for best ball purposes. And if you need a streaming tight end, he's going to be a good option. So Hunter Henry, still around, still in the fold, still going to find a way to get the football.
Let's talk about one of the first acquisitions of this free agency offseason, because he was a guy who was not under contract. He was cut beforehand, and that is Zach Ertz signing with the Washington Commanders. He's taking the old man Logan Thomas role, and he is reuniting with his post offensive coordinator as well, with a Cliff Kingsbury offense where he was absolutely dominantly targeted over Trey McBride during the time that he was there. I actually, if he can be anywhere near healthy, it'll probably only be for 6 yards a catch, but I think he's going to be absolutely peppered in this offense as long as he's healthy. I know we like our olds here on this show. We are Cougar hunters for sure, but I actually really do like some Zach Ertz pairing back up with Cliff Kingsbury again.
I do too. You know, it feels very much like Jason Witten, where Jason Witten was that towards the tail end of his career, but he finds ways to get open, takes his 6 yards, his 8 yards, and he goes down. I don't think that, you know, for PPR purposes, great. So I am very excited for Zach Ertz to have an opportunity in that offense again. There are other weapons. There is a quarterback situation we need to figure out. But, hey, you know what a nice rookie quarterback's favorite friend is? A tight end that can get
definitely
open.
Definitely not young.
But yeah, you know, that's the favorite targets, a tight end that can get open, find that open spot in the field, make your quarterback have a quick release or quick out. And, can't be disappointed for Zach Ertz. So 1 year, $5 million, take it and run.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be the guy. Maybe we'll see them draft somebody as well that could eat a little bit into that role. But we also saw the tight end one of the Atlanta Falcons move over to the Miami Dolphins, and that is Jonnu Smith. It is not Kyle Pitts, who was the tight end one last year on that team. Thank you, Arthur Smith, for giving me a lot of tight end best ball points. And Jonnu Smith, your potentially long lost cousin, as much as you liked him. 2 year, $8.4 million deal, basically a 2 year guaranteed deal. He goes to the Miami Dolphins. And I think the point here is, will Miami actually ever use a tight end? Because they still have Durham Smythe on the roster, who they restructured recently. He'll still be there. You still have this offense is going to funnel through Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Do you think there's a chance that they actually use a move wide tight end and Jonnu in this offense, or do you think it's going to be Durham Smythe 25% better? Because that's honestly where I'm at.
So this one for me is actually a little bit of an interesting move. I don't think Jonnu Smith is a bad player. I think he's a very good NFL tight end. He had a rough time in New England, showcased his ability a little bit last year, even with Pitts around. I don't know whether Miami's going to use the tight end. I think that's what it comes down to. But truly, when you have an offense that runs through Waddle and Tyreek, you need something else. You can't just have, you know, Smythe out there. And yeah, I know they had Hunter Long in the past, but like, you can't just have these guys out there that block, serve a role. Yeah, they can kind of find a way to get open in the red zone. Maybe they find a way to utilize Jonnu a little bit more so that Tua has a different outlet if Waddle is and Tyreek are double covered and they're just like, all right, well, what do we do? So I'm hopeful for Jonnu Smith, but in the end, I do think it's going to end up resulting in 25% better Durham Smythe. I think that's just kind of the way that this offense is. He's going to have some touchdowns. He's going to have a big game here or there, but that's all you're going to get for Jonnu Smith.
Let me tell you, 25% better Durham Smythe, as much as that percentage sounds a little bit better. 25% of like 15 catches isn't all that great. So I wouldn't, I'm not all that excited, even though I really do love Jonnu Smith. So if I could get out on anything, I'll get out and just rely on the fact that they have never shown me that they want to use a tight end, and especially not a tight end like Jonnu Smith within a Kyle Shanahan styled offense. So we'll go down to the next one. We'll go to our Seattle Seahawks boys that did not re-sign within the team, and that is Colby Parkinson and Will Disley. Colby Parkinson to the LA Rams, Will Disley to the LA Chargers. Both of them got three-year deals. Colby Parkinson at $22.5 million, 15 years guaranteed over 2 years. Will Disley, 3 years, $14 million, 10 guaranteed is what we're looking at right now, but we don't know where that's lying over the 2 or 3 year range. Any interest with either of these guys? I actually do think that there's a potential that both of these guys are the starting tight end for both of these teams.
No. So Will Disley for me, good role player. I think he's going to be a good role player for the Chargers. This is kind of what the Chargers new offense is wanting to do. I don't think he's going to be the starting tight end for the Chargers there. Colby Parkinson might get an opportunity early on in the season because Tyler Higbee tore his ACL and MCL, you know, in the postseason. So Higbee being out for a little bit might create some sort of opportunity for Colby Parkinson early on. I still think that's going to be Tyler Higbee's job when he's back, and Colby might have a role.
If Higbee plays before week 10, I would be absolutely mind blown.
And that's, you know, that's a possibility. I don't think, I mean, I know he's not ready for the start of the season, but pup candidate 1 month out. So you get 4 games of Colby. Cool.
30-year-old shredded knee is not what I'm betting on returning.
And that's totally fair. Totally fair. But, you know, you just pumped Zach Ertz.
I guess hard. I did, you know.
So I just want to throw that out there.
We were on that conversation a little bit ago. So I can fully understand it.
But in the end, like, I just don't really care about the tight end and the Rams. Like, I think that we've seen some good stuff from Higbee in the past. And you hope for that for Parkinson. Maybe there's a couple fantasy relevant games, but that offense runs through Cup. Oh, sorry, not Cup anymore, but Puka Cup and Kyren Williams. So I don't know that I really care. I'm going to add him to rosters just because he's going to be a starting tight end. He's going to have that, you know, possibility, but I don't really care. Like, at least for sure, Will Disley, but Colby Parkinson, I think, has a much better shot of at least giving us a week or two.
End of the day, he's at least better than Davis Allen, who everybody has been rostering and actually drafting in underdog leagues that we will no longer be doing. Anyway, we've got three more here that really do not matter because they are all blocking tight ends. Drew Sample re-signing in Cincinnati, Brock Wright re-signing in Detroit, or at least getting the restricted free agent tag placed on him, and then Charlie Warner replacing the Jonnu Smith role in Atlanta for that Sean McVay system as their blocking tight end. Still available tight ends that are on the market: Adam Trautman, Logan Thomas, Austin Hooper, Tanner Hudson, Mike Gesicki, Irv Smith. And does that cover everybody within our free agent market? That is a gross, as you made that sound. It is a gross tight end landscape. And so could that drive up the market of a Brock Bowers or a Jatavion Sanders or some of these other guys that we see within this class? It could potentially do that. Obviously, like you had just said, you might not see a Colby Parkinson being the tight end one, even though I don't think that Tyler Higbee is returning at all potentially in 2024. A lot of these guys, I mean, it's the tight end position. It's gross all across the board. The NFL teams, even though it's gross across the board, because whenever you're signing Colby Parkinson to 3 year, $14 million deals, you know what the situation is across the league. People have to get these blocking tight ends, even these Charlie Warner deals. Nobody even fantasy even knows who they are, but they provide a specific role to an NFL team. Love these back end, just absolute gross deals that nobody else cares about. They are fully my gig. So love putting all of this together. Love the NFL free agency day. Hopefully there's nobody we missed, nobody we left off. Hopefully there's nobody but that got signed by the time that you're listening to this. But if you're listening to it past 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning, there's probably already been somebody signed. So we apologize for anything that has happened since.
Yeah, good shot there. But yeah, no, that recaps day one, the highs and the lows. I mean, the good and the bad. We got day one in the books. I mean, there's only a, like, we went over a few names that we're still truly interested in when it comes down to each position. Tight end, I don't really care about anymore. Still got Ridley, Hollywood, maybe a little Mooney, Odell, the rest of them, you know, we'll see where they land and what kind of role they get. Mixon, Henry, Aaron Jones, maybe a little Zeke Elliott interest. But that's pretty much it. And the same thing, who's going to fill the last of the quarterback spots? Where does Tannehill go? Who's he backing up? Does someone trade for Justin Fields? Does Jimmy G get a job? Like, there's some very intriguing things here. What is on your mind, my friend?
You just mentioned Justin Fields, and I was just smiling to myself, like, where does Justin Fields go? Oh, does he go
to the bench, everybody? He's going to the bench. That's where he's going.
Does he go to the St. Louis Battlehawks? Does he go to the Houston Roughnecks in the UFL that's starting up in a week or two? Honestly, if he wants to start this year, he probably might have to go there. No, but I love shitposting, and so we'll continue to do that with Justin Fields. I'm sorry, I am the Justin Fields number one hater for... Other than Jay Rich, potentially, we got to throw that clause out there every single time that we bring that up. But I have thoroughly enjoyed this process, honestly, for Justin Fields. Like, I hope he does find a place. Like, this is not a slight at the man himself. Like, this is just a slight at the fantasy community for being overly hopiumed on a player who has the exact almost same projection as Trey Lance. And we're here again, and people are bewildered again that this has happened. And we've done it 2 years in a row. And I love talking with you through all of this stuff, because we can talk through all of these things and it comes out on podcast form. We talk through all these things and a lot of them come to fruition. So I'm glad that a lot of people have rocked with us. If you've been rocking with us for an hour and 25 minutes now at this point, whatever that is, appreciate you all for sticking around with us through all of this day one recap of the free agency market. I'm sure next week we're going to have another probably hour and 30 minute podcast as well over everything that's happened from day two all the way until we bring it back on Monday night. So I absolutely love this time of year. My favorite time of year. Can't wait to rock with y'all for the rest of the NFL offseason. And make sure you tap into all the things that we have going on over in the Destination Devi landscape, the website, the tools as well, the war machine, all of the spider graphs that you can create over there for any of your favorite players as well. Make sure you're tapping in over to the YouTube. We mentioned our guy Ty debuting over on the trade show. We will see that, I think, every single week going forward as well. Shane Manila dropping his thing for the last 2 weeks over there, which I have absolutely been a major fan of as well. All the podcasts on, like, I think 3-4 different podcast feeds as well. Make sure you're tapping into everything that we do over here. I don't even know where it all is, but make sure you are linked up to all that. You can find it all through the Destination Devi Discord, or you can find it through the Destination Devi X, Twitter, YouTube, whatever page you want to find it on.
Yeah, if you want to buy some magic beans, hit me up on X, again, at Trophy Chase, TFDR, at Cody Smith, TFDR on X. You can always find us in Discord as well. Again, patreon.com/allgas. Make sure you are part of that Heisman tier, that Destination 5 tier. This is the time of year. I cannot stress it enough. This is the time of year to tap in. You're going to change your dynasty mindset so much over the next few months. You're getting free agency stuff. You're getting trade strategy and thought processes. And then we're going to get right into the rookies here in the next month and a half. This is the time. And again, make sure you tap into Destination Devi YouTube channel so that you can ring that bell, subscribe to the channel. This way you're notified when we are going live for 3 straight days for the NFL draft and all of the great giveaways that are going on over there. So you definitely want to tap in there. But yeah, man, again, big shout out to everyone that has listened to us over the past year. Big shout out to you for sticking up. Again, as you mentioned earlier in the show, it was 12 o'clock. It is now 1:30 your time. So I appreciate the constant grind to make sure that we can drop this week in and week out and really break these things down. So I've loved chopping it up with you over the past 2 years to 2.5, 3 years. I don't even know what it's been. Like you said, it feels like it's just molded together, but man, it's been a blast. This was day one of free agency. A lot of fun stuff coming up over the next week plus. And yeah, I think that pretty much wraps us out. So let us know your thoughts, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Overreaction Podcast.